Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, a podcast where we share news, information, resources, tips and tricks about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes and then search for Dyscalculia Headlines. You can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page.
What do we need with math education? See what you can accomplish with dyscalculia. New study from Turkey looks at cortical thickness, surface area and volume, stability in learning disabilities, and Dyscalculia 101 in small businesses. This is our podcast for week 28 in 2023, and welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services, and she's going to help us look at the links for this week. Welcome, Dr. Schroeder.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stepping in. Always good to see you. Always good to hear your insights on the links that we have. Now, the first link is about what we need with math education. What is that all about?
Yes, that's obviously a vast topic. But this one is from the Global Strategy Group. It's actually supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And there's a new report out, and it summarizes the status of math education in the United States. Well, there's a huge problem. Math education is currently perceived as unengaging, outdated, and disconnected from the real world. And therefore, students are not so interested in what they are learning, and they are not getting the adequate preparation they need to succeed in later life. So the solution seems obvious, but that is not so easy to implement nationwide. The solution is like, make math education more relevant and engaging. Right.
Yeah, but how?
That sounds really well, but how do you do this?
Yeah.
So, we all want that more students will succeed in math and also later in life, because we all know that math is becoming more and more important for secondary education and for your jobs later on.
Yeah.
Now, this report done by this Global Strategy Group was done and they worked on it the second half of 2022, and now it just came out. And what they did was interview experts, so school officials, teachers, parents in several states, actually a variety of states, California, Texas, New York, and I think also in Florida. So, for example, parents mentioned that math should be relevant for their students, so that their students, their children, will actually have benefit from it after graduation, or maybe in college, but particularly for their career. So the parents were not so focused on what happens between now and the end of 12th grade, but how does this help them later on in life? And I think that's a very good perspective.
Yes.
So everybody sees that the early grades in elementary school, they are fundamental, and we all need that. That's kind of out of the question. But particularly end of middle school and high school, that presents an opportunity for more differentiation also. And I totally agree with that. We should not push everybody through algebra 2 and give more life-related connections with math.
Okay.
So great work here.
Good work.
Follow the link. It's on our Dyscalculia Headlines, obviously. And the whole PowerPoint presentation with lots of more details is available there.
Okay. Yeah. Good resource to have. Now, the next link says, see what you can accomplish with Dyscalculia. What can we accomplish?
Well, all kind of things. So, as math is a large part of children's life, they often think that dyscalculia, so their trouble with math, will determine their whole life.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Luckily,
poor kids.
That is, yes, right. But that's how they feel about it.
Yes.
So, we know, of course, that this is luckily not completely true, and there are so many other aspects in life beyond math, beyond school, to enjoy and to accomplish. So this is a story about Wafrit Bilimoria. Is a 27-year-old athlete from Mumbai in India. And he has overcome really severe learning disabilities. And he had a combination of dyslexia, dyscalculia, dysgraphia, and ADHD.
That's even but more still, than the trifecta.
Right.
Amazing.
He still was the first Indian male to win a continental level medal in the Iron Man.
Yeah, that is a grueling test. Absolutely.
So just a good reminder for the children that there is also life beyond math and beyond their learning disability.
Yes, absolutely. It's good for the children to realize that. Now, the next link is about a study from Turkey, of all places, about cortical thickness, area, and volume. What's the significance here?
Yeah, this is a study done at the university in Ankara. And they start mentioning that previous neuroimaging studies showed that there were some differences in brain structure and maybe also function in children with developmental dyscalculia. Now, that is what was known already. And they started from there and they did the study investigating the cortex, the outside, that windy, bubbly outside of the brain. But also how thick that area is.
The layer is, uh-huh.
And the surface, so in between and those rounding things, and the volume of the cortex. So the cortex is where you have your neural cells, neurons, and the deeper layers have a lot of highways where the information in the brain travels from one area to another, and we call that the white matter in the cortical areas show up as gray matter, just as a background how this all works in neuroimaging.
And really, listeners, we need to switch to a video podcast because her hand gestures make this very clear for me, but you may be struggling to follow this. Anyway.
So, they were comparing children's dyscalculia to typically developing students. And that, for those kids, they used those surface-based methods of neuroimaging. And their conclusions was that the cortical volume reductions in particularly in the front side of the brain, the frontal parietal regions, that existed in students with developmental dyscalculia were also seen in this study, and that underlines that issue. So we again see that dyscalculia is not just a social construct.
Right.
You can actually see the brain differences.
Yeah.
And also they showed that the lower cortical volume, so the lower volume of neurons, and then you assume that there's also less neurons if the volume is less, may be associated with smaller surface. But that, it's also a relatively small sample size because this is always a very complicated and expensive research, but they could not find that. So, like usual, they conclude that more study
is necessary.
Necessary. Yeah,
okay.
But
it's
another study that links dyscalculia with visual actual differences in the brain.
Real biological things that you can see and touch on images.
Dyscalculia is real. It's a real thing.
Now, our next link tells us about stability in learning disabilities. What can we learn there?
Well, how many students with learning disabilities are in the common population, we call that the prevalence. Between age 6 and 17 years, stayed actually the same between 1997 and 2021, and that is published in a research letter in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics.
Okay.
It's very interesting. here, because who were the people who published it?
Harvard, Stanford, Johns
People
Hopkins.
In China.
People in China.
Using our data.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah, to come up with conclusions about the learning disabilities in the U.S.
Actually, are they spying on us?
No. We have a huge body of information that is not always completely exhaustively used to write conclusions about it. And these people from the Guangdong Pharmaceutical University in Guangzhou in China jumped on that, and they made a very precise estimation of the prevalence of those learning disabilities and the long-term trend. And their data were based on more than 188,000 U.S. children and adolescents. Huh? Okay. Like I said, between 6 right. and 17 years old. And they found that 8.76%, so 8.76 is how a lot of people say it here, percent of children had a diagnosis of a learning disability. Okay. And there was a significant difference age-wise. So surprisingly, in the age group of 12 to 17 years, it was almost 10%. While in the younger group, 6 to 11 years, it was slightly below 8%. Percent.
But that could be because they've not been diagnosed yet.
Yes, or maybe that the psychological issues are added to this.
Yes.
And then also surprisingly, there were less girls identified, not even 7%, while 11% of boys.
Interesting.
Might be a bias in identification here.
Yes. Interesting.
There are many more data, and I won't bore you with all the
but the link has a link to the full report,
all the percentages, okay. Right. But the main message here is that there is not a significant
mean
change in the prevalence overall.
Good, and that's what you would expect, right? I mean, people have not changed. I mean, you know, life has not changed. Bodies have not changed. It's not that it would get worse or better.
Well, you don't know that before you research it.
Oh, of course. And more study is necessary for this conclusion. Okay. Well, it brings us to our last link, and that says that this Calculia 101 is small businesses. What's that about?
Yeah, that is from the Earn More, Stress Less podcast.
I love it already.
Perfect title. And they specialize in helping small business owners, and they have this time a nice podcast about this Calculia and some useful tips. So the host is Caro Sison. He's from the UK. She's from the UK. And a passionate advocate for empowering individuals with dyscalculia to face and overcome their numerical struggles, and also to help them thrive in their daily lives.
Yes, definitely.
And that obviously includes small businesses and ownership of small businesses. So she mentions four things that are really impactful, like the feeling of belonging, inclusion, diversity, and equity. And the other thing she mentioned is the National Numeracy website. In the UK, that is there to help people. They are very active to help people who struggle with numeracy, and there's very good information on that also. So, in general, great awareness and some good tips from her.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Schroeder, for your insights. Dr. Schroeder, the founder of DyscalculiaServices.com, always on her quest to increase the awareness of dyscalculia for only $46, you can follow her initial introduction into dyscalculia with her dyscalculia awareness training. So please, if you have not done that, make sure that's something that you do in the coming weeks.
Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from dyscalculiaheadlines.com. You can find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we are on Twitter at dyscalculiahead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments and contributions to communications at dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.